With TikTok ads, our revenue went up $10 million year over year during back-to-school season. Penn Foster is online education. TikTok is great because the reach is incredible for finding a lot of different types of audiences on the platform. Creator content at scale allowed us to easily develop and distribute creator-led ads. Our return on ad spend for TikTok is 21% higher than the next best channel.
Start growing your business today. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
Hello and welcome to the Big Fat News Talk Quiz of the Year. Simon Tierney here, and I'll be with you over the next hour for this very special Christmas Day show. 2025 was certainly a tumultuous year, from Trump's tariffs to Katy Perry becoming an astronaut, and indeed the hard launch of her relationship with former Prime Minister of Canada, Justin Trudeau, on Twitter. What a year Katy has had, to the Parisian museum heist, and indeed Catherine Connolly transforming her talent for Keepy Uppies into votes for the Auris. Now, during this quiz, I'll be taking you through some of the great, the good, the wacky of the year, and joining me throughout will be my panellists fighting to be crowned the biggest know-it-all of all. They are our defending champion, Niamh O'Reilly, freelance writer and journalist. Niamh, you're very welcome. Good to have you back on the show.
Thank you very much.
Comedian Jim Elliott. Jim, good to see you. You are also back for the second year in a row, I believe.
Our defending loser.
And her debut performance is Jen Hogan, who will be very familiar to News Talk listeners, Irish Times columnist and host, of course, of Conversations with Parents podcast. You're all very welcome to the show. Now, let me just start with you, Jim. 2025, how was it as a year for you? How many stars would you give it out of five as a year?
5 stars out of 5.
Great.
I wouldn't be the token American on the program if I wasn't optimistic to a fault. So yeah, I had a good year. I had a lot of fun this year. I had a lot of good gigs. I got a chance to open for some. See, here's the thing with the comedy ladder, right? You're trying to build your own name, and I know you guys here at News Talk love me, and believe me, I love being here. But I'm kind of an under the radar act, so I've got my own shows that are going pretty good. But what happens to you sometimes is a bigger act will take you under their wing, and you get to open for them. And they play much bigger rooms than you do because they're a bigger act than you are. So I got to open for Neil Delamere a whole bunch of times this year. I got to open for Enya Martin. I got to open for Deirdre O'Kane. And getting access to that audience and just playing I spent 10 years doing 30-person basement rooms underneath pubs, and I still do those. But now I get to, play a theater. I get to play the Opera House in Waterford or the Theater Royal.
And you did a film?
That's the other thing. I don't know how I lucked into this. I talked my way into an acting role. And wow. People every once in a while are like, oh, you could probably act, you're a comedian. And I'm like, well, if the guy looks and sounds exactly like this, you bet I can.
And were you cast because of your innate acting talent or your marvelous handlebar mustache?
I think they needed a yank. I think that's what they needed. They were filming a scene.
Was it a period film?
It was supposed to. And not a period film as much as a fantasy. It's a Hallmark movie. Who knows?
Oh, wow.
Jim,
filmed in Ireland.
Check church?
You guys into Hallmark movies?
Yes.
Wow. Okay, cool. Because it's a divisive sort of topic. Some people I talk to who are not in that demo have no idea what I'm talking about. And then there are other people that are like, oh my gosh, which one were you? I was in a movie called The Reluctant Royal.
It's your
basic King Ralph. And it's a guy who was a mechanic in Philadelphia, and he never knew his father. And all of a sudden, a woman turns up on his doorstep one day with some papers. It's a, you are the sole remaining heir of Lord
Classic.
And he's in ill health, so you're going to have
to
come.
That's a classic premise, though, for a Hallmark movie.
Absolutely. And I'm the guy who owns the bar that the guy works at.
Yeah. Did you have to fall in love with anyone?
No. I was just sitting here going, Johnny, what are you talking about? You're no royalty. Get back in here and fix the oven. And then I'm in two scenes in the beginning, and then I disappear.
Excellent.
Niamh, how... remember your lines.
How about that? Yeah, it was a lot of fun. A lot of fun.
How did you remember your lines? Yeah. Niamh, how was it for you, 2025?
This is probably the busiest year that I can remember. Like, just my children, I suppose, have got to an age. They're now 6 and 9. So, like, school really kicks in and all, like, after-school activities and all that sort of stuff. So I found myself very, very busy this year.
You've got 2 or 3 children?
Two
children, yeah.
But even with 2, once they start into school proper and all the little bits and pieces that they're doing, you sort of, some days you're like, I literally have to clone myself to get them from A to B, and they're like, oh yes, I also have to work.
So did just, one of them start primary school, did you say?
So he's in senior infants.
Okay.
Yeah, so it just like started doing like after school activities.
I had a child that started junior infants.
Yeah, okay, so similar yeah. kind of vibe. Yeah. Just life, I think, kicked up a notch in terms of busyness and sort of like trying to balance your career on top of that. So just for me, I found it a busy, busy year, but a good year. I managed to feel the fear and do it anyway and go on television this year.
Oh, like, wow.
As a writer, that Fantastic. Is not my comfortable zone. I'm yeah. comfortable at my laptop, typing.
Radio.
I like radio yeah. because there's no camera. So,
by the way, we're filming. No, we're not.
Yeah. So, yeah, it was a big leap and I was sort of hemming and hawing for ages and I did and it was fine. And I'm glad I did it. And I can sort of tick that off the list now, but I'm definitely more comfortable not on camera. I much prefer writing.
Jen, you are very well schooled in kids, obviously. You've
it's
got
like a ridiculous
many
number.
Children, but you still have some in primary school?
I still have two in primary school, a few in secondary, two in college, and one who is out in the big bad world of work.
Wow.
So yeah, she's finished college and all now.
Are they all still living at home?
Six of them are.
Okay.
My daughter left. I mean, the absolute neck of her. She left me with all these boys. She left me with all these lads.
So it's one girl and the rest are all boys.
They're all boys. No wow. one knows how to use a toilet.
Oh my God.
Nobody does.
I'm sure your daughter was like, I am out of here. Exactly, good luck with all that, lady.
Good luck. I mean, they're even given something to aim with. They still, anyway,
oh my God.
That's possibly
yeah.
a whole other
it
conversation.
It doesn't get better then. I was hoping aim would improve.
No, aim never improved. In spite of being gifted with something to aim with, they still.
I think they enjoy not actually.
I think so. Yeah, and they obviously love hearing my dulcet talents. Put it in the pot! And then bowl, in the toilet bowl. Yeah. So yeah, no, so I'm not at all gone a little bit manic or crazy right, from having all these kids. No, that's it's all good.
But you continued with your podcast? Conversations with Parents?
Yes, we had season two of Conversations with Parents, which was brilliant. It was great to be back and some more brilliant guests. We got to chat to, I suppose, so many different people. I had a bit of crack chatting to Miriam. Miriam was on, Miriam McCallan, and obviously with her having eight and me having seven, there was some conversation
wow. yeah.
there with 15 kids between us. We don't low Shay on, so it was brilliant even having him as, you had your expert and then you had him as a dad. You take somebody and talk to him about the sort of things that they don't want to talk about. Chris Hadfield was on, got to talk space. So I got to talk space, you know. If I couldn't do a Katy Perry, I could at least talk about it. You know? So, it was great. It was brilliant having them. Brilliant to have the podcast back, but it was the usual chaos. I think I can't believe we're at this stage of the year again already. I still remember the Christmas tree being up from 2024.
But Jen, on a serious note,
yeah.
can I congratulate you on your Christmas tree earrings?
Did I go?
Yeah,
I'm
nice.
So disappointed that there isn't a camera. I put the Christmas tree earrings on.
I mean, Niamh has got a beautiful red festive cardigan on.
Sort.
Jen has the Christmas tree earrings. And Jim is just
slightly
disappointing.
This tuxedo was dragged. We're on the radio, you guys. It's an image. This tuxedo was my father's, actually. It was handed down by the Duke of York. It's very fancy. Oh. It's the only thing I wear when I'm on the radio.
Guys, we have a quiz to do. There are going to be five rounds, or at least as many as we can get to, before we hear the buzzer at the end. Each with six questions, so you should each have the opportunity to answer two questions per round. Now, if you get a question wrong or pass on it, we'll give the opportunity to answer to the person sitting to your left. And your left, Jim, is Niamh, not me, because I'm in the middle. We're working against the clock here, so regardless of how far along we are, when the time runs out, we'll tally the final score. Thanks to our fantastic producer, Dara, who I hope will be keeping count because I won't be able. So the first round is Who Said It? This is an audio round, so if you have headphones, maybe put them on. The first question is going to be for Niamh. So you have a listen to this one, Niamh. Tell us who said this.
Have you said thank you once? This
a
entire
lot of
meeting?
Times.
No, in this
Even
entire
today.
Meeting, have you said thank
Even
you?
Today.
You went to Pennsylvania and campaigned for the opposition in October. Oh. Offer some words of appreciation for the United States of America and the president who's trying to save your country.
Okay, Niamh, so we heard the dulcet tones of who in that clip?
There was two. There was J.D. Vance.
Yes.
And he was giving out to the president of Ukraine.
Yeah, absolutely. Well done. So US Vice President J.D. Vance infamously speaking with Vladimir Zelensky back in February in the Oval Office. That was an extraordinary encounter, Niamh.
That was crazy. I think, I can't remember when that happened, but I think we were on holidays when that happened.
February.
Yeah, I think we were away. And I remember like someone at home texting me, you will not believe what has just happened in the Oval Office. But and
that
I just
could
sort
go
of,
anywhere.
I could go anywhere because every day it's something crazy. Yeah. But we looked on our phones and we, you know, got the clip up and our jaws were just, we just could not believe. And it just got worse and worse. And someone made a crack about him not wearing a suit.
Yeah.
And I just thought, oh, wowza.
I remember when I was following it, the whole thing as it unfolded in here in the office. And I was watching Trump greeting Zelensky at the side of the White House. And the first thing he said was, good to see that you dressed up for the occasion. And I knew that sardonic tone was going to set the course for the rest of the day.
It did feel kind of orchestrated in some ways, you know, that they were going to show this guy, we're going to, you know, maybe gang up on him. And it felt, it was really uncomfortable.
There's this really strange thing, Jim, over the past year since Trump took office again, where Trump is kind of sitting at one end of the Oval Office and then all his kind of henchmen are lined up on the couch on one side. So you've got like Rubio, Hegseth and J.D. Vance. It must be such an intimidating atmosphere to walk into.
I have plans to go back to the United States soon, so I'm going to go ahead and say the professionalism of that office have never been higher.
Amazing place.
One of my favorite things about that, though, is like people forget Zelensky used to be a comedian. He is very funny. You guys know
this?
After that meeting when he got lambasted for never saying thank you, he spent the next 4 hours that afternoon going through his Twitter feed and just retweeting every other head of state with when they were like, we support Ukraine. And he go, hey, thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Which I thought was a funny little
thing. Do you think he was trolling Trump?
Yeah.
I saw that. I never actually copped the troll. I never copped the troll. I'm very disappointed.
Okay,
thanks
everybody. Jen, the spotlight is turning to you. How are you feeling for question number two? Here we go. Okay, so tell us who said this.
I'd like to start this press conference with a question myself. What are we all going to talk about next year? Look, it's a dream come true.
Okay, so those were the words of which famous Irish sportsman, Jen? It's quite a short clip. Not easy to get your head around this. It's quite a long time since we heard.
Can I have Niamh's question, please? I knew that one.
I'm ahead. Sorry.
Do you want to take a moment? Or
I'm afraid of giving a hint, but if it's a particular sport, I'm gone.
Okay, not
because
a sport
there's
person.
One sport. No, I am. But there's one sport. It's a couple of sports I don't consider to be a sport, and I suspect this person might.
Well, this is not an easy one because it happened kind of towards the beginning of the year. Do you want to pass to Jim?
I'll pass, Jim.
Jim,
legend in Irish sport. I'm curious as to what sports Jen thinks are not sports.
Darts.
That's a fun argument to have. Everyone always loves
darts
talking about whether
sport.
Or not darts is a sport.
Chess is a sport. You have to tug out for chess.
No, those things are not sports.
Jim, I'm still not saying which ones in case I give away any clues.
Jim, what was that, famous Irish sports person taking place in the United States?
I'm trying to say, okay, what are we all going to talk about next year?
Mm.
Was it Shane Lowry? No. Nah, it didn't sound. Didn't
very
sound.
Close, but I'll have to pass to the next person. So, Niamh, who do you think that was?
I think it was Rory McIlroy.
It
after
was
he
Rory
finally
McIlroy.
Won the Masters and defeated that little monkey on his back and got his jacket, didn't he?
Yeah, it feels like so long ago, but it was.
Like, I'm shocked that was this year, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Like, it's yonkers ago.
Yeah.
But yeah.
It was probably one of the most extraordinary sports moments of the year because, as you say, that monkey had been on his back. Yeah. It's the one tournament that was, the one accolade that was missing his CV.
Yeah,
really.
Yeah. And I suppose he's been through some personal issues as well. And like, you know, was it, I don't know, was it at that tournament or for a later tournament, people were kind of heckling him.
Yeah, that was at the Ryder Cup. Yeah.
Yeah, because they were throwing.
God, yeah, that was a ferocious atmosphere.
That was at the Ryder Cup. So, which I could have told the Americans who were heckling, like, you're not going to put Irish people off by heckling them. There's nothing you can say from the gallery that they haven't heard before. Probably from a family member.
Jim, like, are Irish audiences hecklers in general? Compared to the Yanks,
they are and they aren't. They've got a bit more decorum than your typical drunken crowd in the likes of I don't know New York or Cleveland. The problem is with Irish hecklers is that they're funny.
Okay,
and that's not what you want. What you want is somebody saying something stupid, so then you can come across with something even quasi witty at the end of it, and you look like a genius. But the problem is when you're up there and you go set up, punchline, and the punchline bombs, and there's a space for silence, and somebody in the crowd goes funnier punchline, and you're like, I just got dunked on, but I am gonna write that down, and that's going in my act.
So yeah. Thanks for the material. I went to see Jimmy Carr a week or two ago in the Point Depot.
He invites it though. Huh? He invites. Yeah. He will literally go to the crowd. Like, all right, heckle me.
He thrives on it. He thrives on it. You'd want to be a very brave man or woman to heckle Jimmy Carr, to be honest. He's a master of it. Okay, let's move
Can
on.
Can I just say before we move on, golf is not a sport. Thank you.
Okay,
and that was exactly who I said. That's something.
Jen, you're going to become a hate figure with that sort of stuff.
I can cope with that. Heckle, bring on the heckles. I'm okay with this. Golf is not a sport. Thank you. And good night.
Fair play to you, Jen. Okay, next question is for Jim Elliott. Jim, tell us who said this.
Eamon went in with a game plan, didn't he? And he was like, and I was like, there's something about this show that if you go in with a game plan, you're almost... Like, look at Paldy. I don't think Paldy went in with a game. And look how long he lasted. So it's almost a question of being able to adapt on the hoof.
I know what they're talking about. They're talking about traitors. Who was the name of that present?
Yeah, you got the show right.
Come on.
So Jim, obviously,
Wait a second. It's... Nope, don't. No, I don't have it. I don't have that pass.
So we had the famous original British version with the lady with the fringe.
Claudia Winkleman.
And then it transferred to Ireland, but it's not Claudia Winkleman. It passes to Niamh. Who do you think
Well, I think Jen knows this as well.
It's Asian here.
Siobhan McSweeney.
It was indeed. Siobhan McSweeney.
Golf is not a sport. Golf is not a sport. Traitors is a sport.
You're going to be dining out on that for the rest of the Christmas, aren't you, Jen? Golf is not a sport. You're willing to die on that hill.
That and homework has to go.
Exactly.
Yes.
I can't wait until you have to interview a dad who is also a pro golfer on your podcast.
Oh,
you'll be in trouble then.
Conversations with parents
on the podcast.
Niamh, did you watch Traitors Ireland?
Oh my God, did I watch it? I am a super fan, but I have to say I was a bit smug because I loved the British one from the start when it was this weird little show that no one was watching.
What a phenomenon, though.
Guys, you've got to watch this. It's so good. And people were like, yeah, you know, I watch enough things. And I was like, it's so, so good. And I was skeptical as to whether it would translate because sometimes these shows don't always go so well. Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
Yeah. There's so many British shows that haven't worked.
No, like we had a Bake Off version, which did not work. But this was
So why did phenomenal. This one transfer so
think,
well to
I think
Ireland?
Siobhan McSweeney had a big role to play in that. She was just a phenomenal host. But I think, you see, the Irish...
It's a culture thing.
We were different. If you watch the Irish Traitors compared to the UK Traitors, like, we had a lot of swearing and a lot of, you know, more real.
It was realistic. The after dark version.
Yeah, yeah. Whereas like on the English one, they're very kind of reserved, I think.
Interesting.
And yeah. So I think we really got into it and it was just like, it's this thing of, you know, can you trust people? Can you not? And sort of like the perceptions you have and the treachery and the backstabbing and... Oh.
And the playing into the sort of things, the sort of things that we do to get people to trust us, you know, and they're using
they
it to try.
They were lying to you. Oh.
And you felt it
and
to your core.
You're shouting at the telly going, no, don't trust him.
Okay, guys, you two can start your own podcast about the traitors. I'll stop you there. Niamh, you've got a chance to capitalise on that answer because your turn is also next. So, tell us, Niamh, who said this?
If you are watching this video, I have been abducted and taken against my will by Israeli forces. Our humanitarian mission was non-violent and abiding by international law. Please tell my government to demand my and the others' immediate release.
Okay, Niamh, so you heard that famous voice there. Who do you think was speaking?
I think it was Greta Thunberg.
Yep. It was Greta Thunberg, Swedish activist, releasing a pre-recorded statement ahead of the Israeli interception of the Gaza aid flotilla. And of course, a lot of Irish people involved in these flotillas over the last 6 months or so.
Yeah, I mean, gosh, how many of them, you know, tried so hard and none of them made it?
Yeah.
None of them, you know, and they were just carrying basic supplies, you know, baby formula, a little bit of food, you know, aid.
For me, it really highlighted how there was a ring of steel around this tiny enclave.
Yes. I mean, from no matter where you try and approach it, air, sea, land, you know, the Rafah crossing had been closed. You couldn't get in by sea. You obviously couldn't get in by air. Absolutely, just closed off to everything and everyone. And it was, it almost was, you know, it wasn't even about getting the very limited supplies I think they had on board. It was just a symbolic thing, you know, and if they could have just gotten through, I think it would have just been a lovely, I think, symbolic gesture for the people of Gaza.
You know. Yeah.
It was hard, wasn't it? It was one of the things I think that all of us will remember this year, just some of the devastating images that we saw this year and just not being able to get your head around what was going on and what people were trying to deal with and seeing the seeing children and families ripped apart and starving kids. It was just...
I think you've hit the nail on the head there, Jen. It was an extraordinary year for photojournalism, particularly in Gaza. You know, those indelible images. I'm thinking of that extraordinary image of Gaza residents returning home along that road by the beach.
Yeah.
Kind of an aerial image of literally thousands of people with nothing but the clothes on their back. Some extraordinary images. Okay, so let's move on to our next question. This one is for you, Jen. Tell us who said this.
I was examining what I was looking for in a president myself and the characteristics that I wanted to see in the person that would represent my country for the next 7 years. And all of this time, I've been having people say to me, you'd make a great president, would you run for the power?
Okay, Jen, what are your thoughts?
That is Joanna Donnelly.
Yes.
Who, I think she surprised a lot of people when she announced that she was planning to run for the presidency. I know it was quite short-lived.
Yeah.
A lot of news. Was it this year she stepped down from working with... She was working with
I think
Mather,
it was this year.
Yes, it was. I'm pretty sure it was. Yeah. She worked, of course, for a long time as a forecaster with Met Aaron. But it was, I suppose, a time in the late summer when... It seems like so long ago now, but there were so many names in
who
the mix.
Who run and who won't run.
Time.
And it got to
Michael
the stage.
Batley
and at one stage. I think we were all thinking of throwing our
Bob Geldof.
At one stage, remember? I was there going, do you know what?
Sure, why not?
Yeah. I mean, more space, big garden.
Jen, it would have done so much
homework
for your listenership figures.
It would have got more people listening to the pod, listening to the
Not that you need anymore.
No.
Hilarious quote, though. Like, just to say, like, well, look, man, you know, I was thinking, what is it that I really want to see in a president? And I went down and I named every characteristic that the ideal president, the platonic ideal of a president would have. And then I was carrying around that piece of paper and I walked by the mirror in my front room and I thought, well, hang on a second. That's me. I have all of that. What a thing to say. Like, I get that you're like, okay, I want to serve my country. I think I might have some good ideas. But just to go, no, I was thinking about what would the perfect president have, turns out I'm every inch that.
But Jim, do you think we have been slightly influenced by our friends across the water in America in terms of this idea that anyone can become president?
That's something.
Because like this institution has always been occupied by ex-politicians, really, or former, Mary Robinson was a senator, Mary McAleese was a well-known lawyer as well, I suppose. But it's always been occupied by people who have had some form of public service. Mm,
And I think if we've learned anything from watching the US is that what you need in there is a businessman. Okay? Enough with all of this people who want to serve the public.
Jim, it's okay. You're going to get into America. Fine, yeah. Our last question in this round is going to be for Jim Elliott, of course. Jim, tell us who said this.
I feel super connected to love. So connected to love. I think this experience has shown me you never know how much love is inside of you, like how much love you have to give and how loved you are until the day you launch.
Wow. There's a lot of mentions of love in that.
Yes.
My God. How many times did she mention love there? Okay. Jim, who do you think that was? I mentioned her at the top of the program.
You did mention her at the top of the program.
Just think how connected to love she is.
Just think how connected to love she is.
The queen of love.
Perry.
She's... Sorry?
Sorry.
Who was it?
Is that Katy Perry?
Yes. Yeah. And it was. Sorry, I thought you said Jim Carrey. No,
that was Katy Perry, and you could hear it in her voice there. She was just emerging from an oxygen tank where she'd been deprived of any oxygen for about 4.5 hours. That's why she sounded like that. That sounds like everybody I meet coming down from whatever they're taking at a music festival.
Yeah, so just to fill in our listeners who aren't familiar or who haven't read Katy Perry's biography, she was speaking there following her 11-minute voyage aboard the Blue Origin spacecraft after spending some time off planet. So, Jim, an inspirational figure for you?
Spending some time off planet, all right. Did you hear the way she sounded? No, an inspirational figure? I don't know. I've heard
it's
people refer to her.
It's been an extraordinary year for Katie.
It has been an extraordinary year for her. Okay, she got on the Blue Planet spacecraft. Do we think that makes her an astronaut?
Did you see the outfit?
She had the outfit.
She's an astronaut.
She's not an astronaut.
She had the outfit. It was gorgeous.
You can buy the outfit. I got bad news for you about Halloween, Jen. She's not, you imagine the amount of training that actual astronauts have to go through and this tourist.
Neve, I got to ask you about one aspect of this story because, a few weeks ago, what's his name? Justin Trudeau did post a picture of him and Katie having a detente with the former Prime Minister and his wife of Japan. Mm. That was a serious hard launch of that relationship.
That was a serious hard. They would want to be very, very sure before, he's bringing her along to kind of semi.
It was like Katie and I.
It was that kind of language
of a very established couple.
And the picture was it black and white or something as well? Like it was quite, it was
formal.
Very formal and maybe different to what we might be used to. Because Katy Perry, in my mind, is this colourful, almost cartoon character.
Blue astronaut suit.
Blue astronaut flares.
Maybe she's a firework.
She's a firework. And that was a California dream song. And she had like that massive, colourful bra.
Did she used to go with Orlando Bloom? Or was she married to him?
They were married.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
And so that brings us to an end of the first section of our quiz. So at that juncture, our leading candidate at the moment is Niamh O'Reilly on 4 points. Jen has 1 point and Jim has 1 point.
Jen, we got
bit of legwork to do, guys.
I think it's a total sham and disgrace. And to be honest, that anybody thought giving me a golf question was fair because golf is not a sport.
Jen, I've shuffled things around and I've got a few more golf questions later in the program for you. You want to start Googling there? To golfworld.com for a few minutes. Okay, we're moving on to news and politics. So this time, last time we started with Niamh, this time we'll start with Jen. So the first question for you is, what was the first named storm of 2025 which caused widespread power outages and disruption all the way back 11 or 12 months ago in the month of January?
Well, you see, I wrote a piece about this so I can remember it, and I managed to annoy a few people who thought I was being serious. It was a tongue-in-cheek piece, and
What were you saying?
It was Bring
Us Back.
Guide to Surviving Storm Iowan. Is that how you pronounce it? And there was a few things what to do, and in there, I talked about parents going mad because the schools were closed again.
Oh God, yeah. And how do you deal with childcare when they're all at home?
How do you deal with kids? Because you're not allowed to put them out on the trampoline. You know, because you know apparently the red warning means we have
they
to
might
keep
blow
them
away.
You know, what are we supposed to do? And it's not fair. You know, why are we expected to put up with our own kids? Sort of thing, which was taken quite seriously by some people. I mean, that's why I remember that. Yes, Storm Island. And somebody, I asked parents about it. You know, I was there going, did you get when the red warning was coming in? I remember somebody going to me, "It should want to be some bloody wind." It was indeed some bloody wind. It was.
Do you know what it feels like nowadays? Like when I was growing up as a kid in the 80s and 90s in Tipperary, we would regularly, every winter, we would have snow days.
Yeah.
But nowadays it seems like it's more like we have storm days. Things have shifted.
I think we're all sitting there going, do we have to go into the office to the kid? Do I have to make a lunch? That's what you're sitting there going.
Oh, God.
Just make a call now. Yeah, do I have to make the lunch?
Yeah.
Do I have to get the uniforms out?
Exactly.
What do I have to do?
We just want to know, I think.
Yeah, what
Niamh, did you have a good storm season?
We weren't too bad, actually, with Eowyn or Eowyn. Though I think there was another storm after it that was worse for us. But I know some people were really badly impacted.
So we had Storm Eowyn, we had Storm Bram most recently.
We
had a few others as well.
There was a few others. I think the storm after Eowyn, knocked down a lot of trees in our sort of area. And kind of Ray Greystones, sort of South Dublin area. Whereas Eowyn was, I mean, it was bad, but it wasn't like for some people in some parts of the country, weren't they cut off with power
for ages?
And it was like proper freezing.
Yeah.
And they were had to sleep in like the living room.
I do remember that. You're absolutely right. Well, like, well remembered because.
Like it took weeks.
Oh, weeks.
Down the country, it can really take a long time to be reconnected sometimes.
No, it was desperate. I remember people on TikTok like making videos from like a dark living room going, we're huddled together for warmth. Like, I know they weren't joking.
And it was freezing at that time of the year as well.
Yeah.
Did you notice how we all pronounced it differently?
I noticed that.
Jim, would you like to have a go?
I'm not allowed to point that out. Anytime I point that out, people accuse me of being provincial and not respecting the local language. But listen to this. You've got three media personalities in here. None of you know how to say it.
Enlighten us, Jim.
Well, that's also, I don't know. I don't know how to spell the thing. You came out with that. I was I'm pretty sure it starts with an A.
Jim, I'm going to stick with you. I'm going to stick with you for the next question. I think this one is going to suit you, actually.
Hit me.
It's kind of about... kind of about America. Yeah, definitely about America.
Thanks.
But the person who said it is not American. Okay,
enough
so
with the foreplay, let's go.
You're going to love this question, Jim. Billionaire Elon Musk rarely stayed out of the headlines in the early part of the year, thanks in large part to his bromance and subsequent fallout with a certain US president. But what was the name of the government department that he set up to tackle the issues of waste, fraud, and abuse?
The Department of Government Efficiency, otherwise abbreviated to DOGE.
DOGE doesn't exist anymore, does it?
DOGE, the department itself, I don't know that the people, I know Elon's out of there because there was something about you could only work there for 180 days without being confirmed by Congress, and he was never going to get that.
Oh, of
so
course.
He was out of there before then. I think the actual office itself remains because it was actually set up under Barack Obama, under the sort of the technocrat's ideal of like, let's get some nerds in here who can actually go through and maybe fix our computer systems. I don't know if you know anybody who works for the federal government. Those people are on Windows 3.1. They're about eight generations behind of any of the technology simply because it's such a big office. Upgrading it takes forever and blah, blah, blah. So in theory, yeah, having a department that would be like, okay, we can help move this stuff around is actually a good idea. In practice, giving that apartment the ability to, I don't know, destroy the entire infrastructure of the U.S. aid program is maybe not what it was going for.
Yeah, extraordinary to watch how U.S. aid has been affected.
Mm.
I suppose also by Marco Rubio's efforts too. How did you find the whole evolution of the relationship between Elon Musk and Donald Trump? I mean, it was quite remarkable the way it changed over the course of the year.
I mean, it was interesting watching.
Remember the Tesla thing?
Watching
at the front
a couple lawn? Of a couple of billionaire narcissists fight it out over their various competing social media platforms. That was kind of fun when they were breaking up to watch them do that. But yeah, watching them get together, and I don't think anybody thought it was going to go anywhere but into tears. Do you remember when they first announced that Donald Trump was like, my buddy Elon, he's going to help. And Elon kept coming out on stage behind him and jumping up and making the X figure behind him.
Yes.
And there's a great photograph of just Trump standing at the podium, looking over his shoulder. It's like, what is this lunatic doing? It would be entertaining if it didn't actually ruin millions of people's lives.
I remember there was an extraordinary press, not a press conference, but one of these kind of Oval Office press gatherings that Trump is fond of, where he sits at the desk and everyone else has
to
stand.
And Elon Musk was in there.
And Elon Musk kind of took over the whole thing.
Elon didn't catch any flack for not wearing a suit. Everybody's happy to see a pudgy guy in a black t-shirt if he happens to be a billionaire.
Yeah, absolutely.
Good times.
Okay, so that was Elon Musk.
Got another one. I'm coming for you.
I'm scared, Jim.
Yeah, that's true. Another point for Jim. Niamh, we're moving back to you, swinging back to you. So your question is, what famous former inter-county GAA player was sentenced to 5.5 years in prison for charges relating to defrauding people out of money while pretending to have cancer?
Oh, I really loathe to even utter this man's name, DJ Carey.
TJ Carey, what an extraordinary story this was.
Yeah, I've almost no words. I mean, I wasn't like a big fan of his, but I know how much he meant to so many people and how much of a hero, a personal hero he was to so many people.
Sure,
I mean, there was
girls
of him and stuff like that. And I just think, I don't have the words to describe how disgusted I am.
So is it because he betrayed that sort of public trust or that reputation that he had?
That, but also the fact pretending you have cancer.
I mean, what a thing to do.
No family in this country hasn't been touched by cancer. This year, our family has been touched by cancer. And to see somebody like that in a position of power like that, pretending to have cancer, it is not even a smack in the face to everyone who's been touched by cancer. It's a kick in the gut. It's the lowest of the low. And I don't care what financial situation you are in. If you are pretending to have cancer to use that as an ATM machine to get money, I just feel like there is no sentence in the world that is going to deliver sort of quote unquote justice. But what annoyed me more was I didn't hear any remorse at all. That I know of. I didn't hear any statement of, do you know what, this was a terrible thing to do. You know, I've seen the error of my ways. None of that. I heard no remorse. And I think that just compounded things for me. And when I think of DJ Carey now, I think of that awful photograph of him in a bed
with the iPhone charger
up his nose.
Yeah.
And if you are going through cancer or you have a family member going through cancer, I cannot tell you how upsetting that is. So I found the whole thing just deeply awful. I felt sorry for people who knew him, you know, in the community and people who looked up to him. That must have been so hard to have someone who's a hero to you, basically, have, you know, turn out like that. I just, the whole thing was really, really awful.
Absolutely. No, you articulate your feelings about that so well, Niamh. It was an extraordinary episode. Now, I'm going to move on to the next one, Jen, with you. So, following the death of Pope Francis earlier this year, Pope Leo the 14th, the 14th Leo, wow, he became the first pope to have been born, of course, in the United States. But do you know what U.S. city he comes from? Ooh, if only this one had been for Jim.
Let's go, Irish Times. What do you got?
Here we go.
He's sitting there stroking his mustache nearly asleep. Like, come on.
It was a strange thing to hear a pope with an American accent, wasn't it?
I know he spent a lot of time.
But which accent? Yeah. Which city was that accent from, Jen? Would you like to take a guess or would you like to pass?
There's a lot of them.
There are. A lot of Americans.
Oh my God, I'm going to come last. There's an American sitting beside me. This is terrible.
So please.
Would you like to take a whirl or would you like to pass it on?
I mean, we're talking to someone who got lost on the way here and she's regularly in here. So you know, I'm not even sure what's a state, what's a city, what's it, you know, I'm sorry. Oh, I know it's shocking.
Okay, let's move it on to Jim.
Colorado.
Colorado,
the American city of Colorado. It's Pope Leo.
You got the first letter right.
Chicago.
Fix! what gives?
I wish I could give you that, but it was too late. It was too late. Jim, do you know what the answer is?
He's a man who respects what the 90s Chicago Bulls were able to do. He's a man who loves the sport of baseball. He's one of Chicago's own. He likes his pizza 4 inches thick. Have you guys ever had a Chicago deep dish pizza? It's actually kind of disgusting.
No, I don't like it.
It's a lot of bread.
It's a lot of bread and a lot of cheese, and it takes about an hour and a half to cook. It's ridiculous. But it is their regional dish of many. There's a lot of good food in Chicago. A lot of good food. A legendary
are you a proud papist now that Leo has joined the ranks of the great in the Vatican?
I have always been a proud papist. I like everything that franchise has put out, from the cars to the hats. I
Leo 14, though.
Everything.
I think this franchise has been going on for long enough.
I think it's hilarious that there's an American pope. I just think it's, you know, he's a guy. I stay up too late sometimes watching the NBA playoffs, and I'm thinking, you know what? This is the first time that I know that me and Pope are doing the exact same thing.
Do you know what, though? I find it so strange because, you know, a few years ago, Jude Law starred in a fantastic HBO show about an American pope. And part of the kind of appeal of that program was that,
the fantasy.
God, it's so ridiculous, the idea of an American pope. Yeah. And now we have an American pope. I mean, it was quite, not jarring, Jen, but to have an a pope whose native language is English, it was a strange thing, wasn't it?
It was a strange thing. And I suppose, like you said, because nobody expected it. Well, how could we? How can we? When America's such a super, how can we have an American pope? So it was jarring. I mean, I suppose like to the idea that maybe we'll be able to understand more easily what he says versus where you're usually when people are speaking, unless you speak the language that the Pope used to speak, you're catching parts of it. And I don't know, will he connect with English speaking countries perhaps a little bit more? I don't know.
It'll be very interesting, sure. It'll be interesting when he pays a visit to the States.
It'd be interesting to see like whether that language barrier will
I have a feeling he might wait until after January 2029 to visit the United States.
The dance card might be full until then. Yeah.
I can't believe you can't give me something for that. I even
Colorado?
I'm
Get out of town.
I would love to give you something.
I can't even talk about the Pope now because I'm so distracted by the fact that I can't get anything.
I would love to give you something.
I should definitely get something for that, Darren, because golf is not a sport.
Does Pope Leo like a round of golf, I wonder? Is there any connection there between golf and Pope
He's
Leo?
He's been to Ireland, hasn't he? So
has he?
I think before he became Pope, he was. There was some, they interviewed some people who knew him. I think
for a stag weekend or what was he doing?
Well, I don't know. But if he was here, he probably played a round of golf. Like
that's
say,
true. Yeah,
golf's not sport, but I mean.
Okay, so that is Pope Leo. That was for you, Jim. That means that I'm going back to Niamh, our defending champion. Oh, sorry. No, I'm going to Jim again because question was passed to you. I've just been reliably informed.
Holy
thank goodness.
God, I'm all right. Be left miles you could have, behind.
You could have been drawn out of another point there, Jim. Jim, question number five. Ireland's Minister for Finance, Pascal Donoghue, has resigned from his role in government to take up a position with which organisation? So Pascal, of course, long-time finance minister here in Ireland, in and out of the role over the past 10 years or so. I suppose no one was surprised that he was going to eventually go elsewhere. But do you have an idea of which organisation he defected to?
I believe he has been sent in to work down in Donnybrook. He's now the head of RTE. I have no idea.
He's looking after the finances down there. Yeah,
exactly. I feel that should be passed to me. So, seems like I gave the answer.
Unfortunately, we have to go to the left. We are going to go to Niamh. She does not look like she's looking forward to this question. The body language is very negative over here,
Niamh. I'm going to take a stab in the dark. Is it the IMF?
Oh, very close, but unfortunately no cigar. Jen, it goes to you.
The World Bank.
The World Bank.
Woo-hoo. Thanks, Peter. God, I got it. It's something that, thank you, Jim, kind of for passing that back
Wow. I think, is that the first question we've had that's had to pass through two people?
It is.
Yeah.
First one today.
That's a tricky one. Okay, so Yeah, Pascal is off to the World Bank. Now, our last question in this section is going to be for Niamh. Who was elected as the first Muslim mayor of New York City last month?
Oh,
wow. Huge amount of attention from Ireland, the Irish media for this. It was almost like this guy was being elected president. It was such a such an amount of attention being allowed.
How do you know the butcher's name? Was it Zoran Mamdani?
I can accept that. That's close enough. Zoran Mamdani became the first Muslim pope of...
He's a cool dude, isn't he?
Your butchering largest... of his name got a lot closer than Cuomo got during the debates.
Oh, God, really? Yeah, I'd say he did that on purpose.
Yeah, or indeed the US president deliberately butchering his name over and over.
Wasn't it great to see him in the Oval Office? With Trump. And Trump was like, oh, he's a great guy. Like, he totally...
He charmed
the pants off him.
He really
he
did.
Does have a
guy.
Lot of... He's got
he's
a lot
magnetic.
Of... like really
Mamdani is an extraordinarily charming
man. Comes across like you'd swear I'd met him, but like he just comes across really charming and like magnetic and a really cool dude, and the campaign around him I think was fantastic and all the branding, like I wouldn't mind some of those t-shirts with the cool font they had, and they just got it so right. Whether he can deliver on all of the crazy things he said he was going to be able to do.
When I was following his campaign, I kept thinking, wow, this guy is a star for the Democrats. It reminded me of Obama at the 2004 Democratic National Convention when he came to national prominence. Yeah. A fantastic orator.
Yeah.
Good looking, handsome.
Yeah.
Very charming.
Very charming.
Very good on communicating his message.
Brilliant.
But then I kept thinking, what a shame it was that he could never be president of the United States.
Well, was he not born?
Because he wasn't born in America.
I didn't know that.
So there's a ceiling for this guy,
he
unfortunately.
Can only go so far.
Jim, what are your thoughts?
They change the...
I mean, Governor Schwarzenegger had the same problem.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's
so
true.
You know, it's one of the rules we got.
Yeah.
Yeah. Would it have to be like a referendum or something to change your constitution?
You'd need a constitutional amendment.
Yeah.
And those are tough to come by.
I'm sure.
So, this is that's not to say he can't be incredibly influential doing what he's doing.
Shame, though.
But
he'd be cool, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that brings us to an end of our news and politics section. Currently, we are on 6 points for Niamh, our defending champion, 3 points for Jen Hogan, and 3 points for Jim Elliott. So it's all to play for. Our last round on News Talk's Big Fat Quiz of the Year is pop culture. And our first question is going to be for Jim this time. So, first question. Adolescence was the Netflix show people could not stop talking about this year, Jim. But what was the name of the show's co-creator who played the father of 13-year-old Jamie Miller?
Oh, this is killing me. That was one of my favorite performances all year. And he's a great actor.
He played a great British actor.
He was fantastic in Boardwalk Empire.
Oh, yes. The Martin Scorsese. Yeah, that was a great show.
His name is Stephen.
Yes. Sorry, I didn't catch that last part.
Yeah, that's
just slightly off mic there, Jim.
I articulated it perfectly, and I feel no need to repeat myself.
Unfortunately, I'm going to need the full name because, you know, if they ever present an Oscar to this guy, they can't just say, and the winner is Stephen.
Unbelievably talented.
That guy, Stephen.
My brain is telling me Stephen Root, but that's a different character actor. Who's a favorite? I pass.
Jim, would you like to pass
I'm
over?
So bummed. Pass.
Okay, to your colleague, Niamh, who was the actor who played the dad in probably the biggest show of the year, I guess, wasn't it? I mean,
it was absolutely brilliant.
So
it was
Jen,
so
you must have got some column inches out of that show.
I did, I got some column inches.
I think I remember reading your piece about that, actually.
So did I. It was wonderful.
Niamh, would you like to...
Stephen Graham.
Stephen Graham, well done.
Yes, good Scouser, yeah.
Well, yeah. A fantastic Scouser accent.
I don't know if you guys have seen a film he was in called Boiling Point.
I did.
It's unbelievable. It's one of those one-take films, similar in the way to Adolescence was shot, but it's in it's a Christmas movie, actually. So if you're looking for, it's not the jolliest of Christmas films, but it's set in a professional kitchen and he's having the worst night of his life and it's all done in one take. It's the
He likes them one take shows,
it's
doesn't he?
The most tense film you will ever watch.
It's fantastic and Snatch
as well. Good. I couldn't recommend it highly enough if you're looking for an alternative Christmas film.
Boiling point.
Really good. Right.
Okay. Yeah, that's a great recommendation. This program, it started so many conversations about toxic masculinity, about the role of fathers in the lives of their children. 100%. Did it have an impact on you?
Absolutely. I mean, I have two little boys, but I think whether you have boys or girls, you can't help being a little bit fearful for your children growing up in this world with computers and social media. And I am so grateful I grew up without any of that in like the 80s and early 90s. And I feel sad for them in a way because it's a totally different world to be growing up in. And the lure is there. Like my eldest just turned 9 and I can see his eyes lighting up and the conversations around when am I going to get a phone and all of this sort of stuff already.
Yeah.
When do you make that call?
Oh, it's really difficult.
Because it's kind of not up to you. It's sort of up to his friend's parents. You don't want him to be the last one out.
No, but I think this is one of the things you have to be tough on.
Yeah, hold the line, parents.
Jen, you've been through this so often. What age do you give your kids a phone at?
Mine don't get a phone before they're about to head into secondary school. So maybe at the very, very end of sixth class, over that summer, as they're heading into secondary school, around that stage. I think that is been okay to stick to. It's worked out well, but I do think one of the things adolescence showed us was reminded us, because obviously it wasn't a documentary, it was a work of fiction, but it was still so close to home that I think that's why we all relate to it so much. But I think one of the things it reminds us to be aware of is that we actually don't know what our kids are doing a lot of the time online. We haven't got a clue. We presume so much. We don't know the content they're consuming. They're running rings around us. Yeah. And we can't just wash our hands and turn around and say, do you know what? I'm not into online activities. I don't understand social media. You can't just... they're probably always going to be a step ahead of us because they're digital natives and we're kind of playing catch up. But we have to try, and until the companies, the social media companies, step up and start protecting our children in the way that they should, until these huge corporations take the responsibility that they should and make sure that the internet's a safe place for our children, we have to try and do our best in the meantime, while obviously demanding that they take action too. I think for me, one of the things that it reminded or that I liked about it was that it focused on the boys. I know there was some criticism about the fact that why didn't we hear the girl's story, which was really important, but I actually think it was important for us to focus on the boy too, because I think a lot of the conversation sometimes has been around girls and how social media is impacting girls and what toxic masculinity is doing to girls. And this is really important because you can't deal with one without the other. You absolutely can't. But it was important to see what that sort of content was doing to boys too, because they can't be managed independently. Yeah. They have to be managed together, and we need to be watching out for our boys as well as our girls.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, we're against the clock. I wish we could talk more about it, but we're going to stay with you, Niamh, because we have 4 more questions or 5 more questions to get through, and we need to get through these fast. Okay, so Niamh, Taylor Swift released her 12th studio album this year, but what was it called?
Oh,
are you a Swiftie?
I am not a Swiftie, sorry, at all.
Can you remember what it was called? You weren't at her concert in Croke Park, was it?
No, I wasn't. is it Diary of a Showgirl?
No, it wasn't.
Okay.
I wish I could give it to you because you're so close. So I am going to pass that over to Jen, actually.
I haven't got a clue, but I'm going to try and jump on the fact that she's close.
So what was it called?
Showgirl.
The Journal of a Showgirl. The Notebook of a Showgirl.
Showgirl. Showgirl Tales.
Okay, I'm going to pass it to Jim, who's looking very studious there.
You've got to be.
Into the middle distance.
First of all, the average age in this room is way too high. Taylor Swift. I was thinking that the mothers would pull this, but then I was like, wait, no, they've got boys. They're not going to know either.
I have a girl too, because she loves me.
My brain is telling me Eras. It was called the Eras Tour.
Wow. This is the first time on the Big Fat Quiz of the Year that we don't have anyone answering the question correctly. It was the life of a showgirl. I wish I could have given that to you. But I'm under very strict instructions.
I think that just shows we all have musical taste.
From Big Quiz. Big Quiz are all over me here.
Also, if he'd given that to you, there'd be a murder in the studio.
Golf's not a sport. Taylor Swift's music is terrible. You're going to get letters.
Jen, you have an opportunity to redeem yourself here. A bit of gossip, TMZ style stuff here coming for you. Lily Allen returned to music with her first studio album in 7 years in October, titled West End Girl. But the album was an ode to her marriage to which famous actor from Stranger Things?
Don't have a clue, I'm afraid.
Stranger Things fan?
No. I know. And I know she's, I know the content of what it was, but I don't know. Mm. I don't know.
So a kind of a biographical album that Lily Allen brought out.
See, this is like the last celebrity question. I got the first name, but I don't have the second. Do I keep the first name to myself to not make it easier for me?
This is strategizing over here.
Or do I try to, if I say it, maybe it'll trigger something in my brain. And
I think Niamh has it in her head already, so I don't think you're going to lose anything there.
I'm pass.
Okay, so Niamh, who was the...
David Harbour.
David Harbour, well done. Has been in Stranger Things from the get-go.
I'm giving you the first name every time.
That you said TMZ, as if I would know what TMZ is about. Come on.
Okay, Jen. Oh, no. This one is for Jim. Jim, British rock band Oasis... as if they need an introduction, took the world by storm with a 5-month reunion tour this summer. But how many concerts did they play in Dublin? Were you
not enough.
Oasis?
How many concerts did they play into? I was not into Oasis.
Well, you see, they weren't huge when you were growing up because you were in the States. They weren't that big in America.
We had a different thing going on in the States at the time. Everybody over here I know, and I've heard about it nonstop since I came over, is it Oasis or Blur, Oasis or Blur, Oasis or Blur? The debate at the exact same time in the States was Pearl Jam or Nirvana.
Interesting. The grunge thing.
Exactly. Yeah. And it was dominant. And so we were aware that there was this Britpop thing going on over there. Yeah. Your hip friends had heard of Blur, but like not.
And Jim, would you like to answer the question at any point? Because that's a really interesting essay that you've written there.
All day to me. How many concerts did they play in Dublin?
I'm gonna say two. Two is the correct answer. Congratulations. Anyone here go to Oasis in Dublin?
I would have loved to, but I didn't get there.
I would have loved to have gone as well. I was a huge fan growing up.
Blur.
Interesting.
Wanted to go.
Park life. Very good. Okay. The next question is for Niamh. Niamh, which famous contestant took the win in the BBC's Celebrity Traitors?
This is a total fix. It's rigged.
Alan Carr.
Alan Carr.
After telling you she watched it before anyone was into it.
Guys, it's just the way the dice falls.
You gave me a non-sporty sport question.
Look, Jen, you take a lawsuit against Big Quiz. $10 billion lawsuit against Big Quiz.
I'm secure in my... I'm guaranteeing I'll be back next year.
Absolutely.
Well done. Well done, Niamh. Okay, so the last question is... What?
Things are taking a turn now. Great.
Excuse me. I'm getting an inference here that I've got some sort of favouritism to Niamh just because she's the defending champion.
Because I gave him a little envelope on the way in.
Untrue.
Best part of Christmas Day. Everybody starts fighting.
The good news for you, Jen, is that you get the last question.
Okay. It better be a good one.
No golf.
At the US Open golf tournament. No, that's not the question. It is a pop culture question. What is the name of the punk rap duo who caused controversy after chanting death to the IDF while they were on stage at Glastonbury 2025 last summer?
Oh, I can see. Oh my God. Oh my God.
This is a tricky one because, I wasn't that familiar with them before all this happened.
Then,
yeah.
But,
Would you like to pass it over to
not
your colleague,
no.
Jim?
No, not definitely.
Oh, she's
not
being
yet.
Tenacious. She's got to hold on to it.
I have
you're
no. It's going to come.
It.
I can see. I can see your
you're
mouth.
You're not going to get it.
I am going to get it.
You're not.
You don't know the answer anyway.
This caused a lot of controversy.
Now I'm in your head. Now you're not even thinking about the answer anymore. You're
Jim,
thinking
you're
about
just
me.
Staring at Jim.
Right
for the listeners at home, Jim is just staring
right in your head. I'm right in your head. You're not going to get it. You're not going to get it.
God.
Jen, I'm going to have to pressure you here. I think you're going to have to pass this over to Jim Elliott. Okay, I'm going to pass it over to Jim Elliott. Jim, would you like to take the answer to this question? The name of the punk rap duo who caused controversy after chanting on stage in Glastonbury.
Bob Villain! Bob Villain! That has to go...
Sorry, was that Bob Dylan?
Villain!
Bob Villain. Can we accept that? We'll accept that.
Yes!
I think it's Bob Violin.
Whatever!
But yeah, but I'll take that dangerously close answer to Bob Dylan.
I was way off. I said kneecap. Oh, well.
Oh, dear.
That's such an Irish answer. Bob Villain. I love it. But you still get the point. Yep, the VAR
nice
says
one.
It's in.
Way to pull it out. I was rooting for it the whole time, Jen.
Not under any duress.
Not under any duress at all. I knew you had it in you. I'm furious with that. I'm sure she pulled ahead of me too. That's all right. I wasn't going to get it.
Okay. So at the end of the News Talk Big Fat Quiz of the Year, we have two joint runners up, which means that there's a good chance you'll be invited back next year, but I can't guarantee it.
I gave him the C and the O.
Okay.
That's true.
So our joint runners up on 4 points each are Jen Hogan and Jim Elliott. Congratulations and commiserations to you both. But we have I think this is the most
back to back.
The most extraordinary win in the history. And I've been presenting this program for about 4 or 5 years now. Niamh, you've defended your title.
Is that the first time that's happened?
You're wearing the green jacket for a second year in a row. Yes.
And can I just point out
on 9 points?
The lack
well
of an actual trophy for the last.
Sorry. Did you not get your check in the post?
I don't want to take the sheen off.
We're not talking about that.
I don't want to take the sheen off it.
Oh, here we go.
Okay, I don't want to come across like a bad loser that I am. But traitors.
Go Traitors.
Traitors Gate.
Traitors.
Traitors Gate. Traitors Gate. I'm going to call it.
But if I hadn't got that, would I still have won?
Well, that's the golf question.
Yeah.
I got a golf question.
So wait now.
You would have won if you combined both of our scores.
There were two Traitors questions. So even if you hadn't had those, you still would have won by 3 points.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's how commanding a lead
a
you
dominant,
have.
Well, look at
that.
Before I let you go, any words for your adoring fans? Will you be back next year to grace us with your presence?
Absolutely. I'll bring my imaginary trophy back. I'll polish it up so that it's ready to give over to next year's winner, because I highly doubt I will do it for a third time.
I want to thank our panelists this year. So Niamh O'Reilly, who is our champion for 2025, freelance writer and journalist. You can read her regular and fantastic columns, of course, in the Irish Independent and elsewhere. Comedian Jim Elliott, who will be playing a theatre near you, I'm sure, at some point soon.
Jim Elliott Comedy across all social media platforms. Hit me up. See me on the road.
Excellent. And Jen Hogan, of course, Irish Times columnist and host of the Conversations with Parents podcast, which will be returning soon for season 2. Thank you.
Season 3.
Season 3, indeed. My goodness, I can't believe it this stage. That's great. I'm looking forward to it. I always enjoy listening, Jen. So thank you very much to the three of you. I've been Simon Tierney. Thank you for listening. And also thanks to our producer, Dara Faulkner. Have a great evening.